This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh yeah, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Monday morning, homeroom, another weekend in the, in the back pocket, done, gone, time to face the reality of a Monday coffee. Jess even put out there, yes, everybody who listened to the Saturday show, we had a great interview with Jess, but we got her to hang around one more extra day, not as the producer, but as truly one of our co-hosts.
Oh, just like we predicted.
You didn't think it was going to happen so fast, but here we are.
And no, she is not dropping out of the whole pursuit of medical school. We just managed to say, Jess, we just need you for one more homeroom because we need the news, and we're going to give Jacob, our new producer, some time to, you know, kind of really get a sense of learning on the board. So, good morning, Johnny. Good morning, Jess. Happy homeroom. Jess, how you doing?
You know what, Tim? I am feeling accomplished.
Nice.
I have put in a lot of hours of work over the last week to sort of wrap up my chapter with Civic Media, and a weekend of rest, just what the doctor ordered. Turning off some of the news because all of those crazy developments, they're still here now, but I didn't need to have them overwhelming my space and taking up my space over the weekend. So I am feeling accomplished, and I am overjoyed to be back here with you busting pencils.
We love it. In fact, you know, Johnny too, we're here. You're saying, though, you know, you cut off the news, except, though, on homeroom, Jess.
Well, of course.
The education news, a little bit, you know, continues to go. But I hear you found an interesting story for Tim and Johnny to kind of go to town on.
Sure. Let's dive into it, huh?
Let's do it.
From K-12 Dive, Oklahoma includes 2020 election denial in social studies standards. How does that sit? Oklahoma's decision to include 2020 election denial in its latest draft of state social studies standards leaves education experts concerned about the partisan framing of the subject and how this can impact students' analytical skill building. One section of the standards asks students to analyze, quote, the sudden halting of ballot counting in select cities and key battleground states, and an unforeseen record number of voters, as well as, quote, the security risks of mail-in balloting, end quote, all of which are claims that have been proven false. While opponents argue that the language of the updated standards is biased, supporters say it equips students to reassess statements from traditional media. A 2021 report from the Fordham Institute ranked Oklahoma highly in a national rating of state standards for civics and U.S. history because of its detailed curriculum and successful defining of analytical skills without replacing historical substance. Despite the Fordham Institute supporting Oklahoma's previous standards, David Griffith, Associate Director of Research at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, said that he believes the organization would now give the state a low grade, regardless of how strong the rest of its standards may be. Quote, it's very difficult to tell teachers to take state standards seriously when they're promoting election denial, end quote, Griffith said.
Ah, there we go. Man, how long does it take for current events to make their way into the standard statements? Well, the answer here is 5 years or 4 years, whatever it is. But, you know, historical facts, civics, Oklahoma, just again, remind everybody, okay, what are we talking about? Yes, we're talking about Ryan Walters, the state superintendent of Oklahoma, who Johnny and I have, you know, we've chatted about regularly. If you all remember, he was my number one pick to be the Secretary of Education. I was obviously wrong.
I mean, he wasn't your favorite.
No, he wasn't my favorite. He was my predicted. He would get it hands down because nobody was auditioning for the part more than Ryan Walters up until that point, doing everything that President Trump was doing. But, you know, he didn't get the call and he's still in Oklahoma. And here we are now, too. Is this one more attempt to kind of kowtow to the Trump administration by putting forward? Now, they're not saying that these things are true. They're putting forward, shouldn't we teach kids the other side of the story here? I'm sure is what's coming across. I do want to point out, though, that when the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation comes out against you, remember, this is the conservative institute that can constantly, typically, hacks on wokeness. And here they are saying, wait a minute, we do not support election denialism. Johnny, thoughts?
Well, Tim, I kind of take a different spin on this, and I need to do a little bit more research to understand exactly how it's stated in the standards, because obviously misinformation in standards is really a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
However, there were a lot of people, and it's pretty significant current event, that the last few decades of elections have come with a lot of contest. They've been close. I mean, going back all the way to, I mean, remember Al Gore?
Chad, you know.
I'm not saying, oh, hey, Oklahoma's got this right. You know, you should be teaching that the 2020 election had opposition. In general, I think good social studies teaching that covers democracy, that covers the electoral system, that puts in good question to, is a two-party system strong? What is the electoral college? These kinds of lessons that us social studies and civics teachers, right, get the wonderful gift and honor of teaching in our classes. I would include in that, I think that you should be teaching about dissent amongst the voters and really looking at that over a couple of decades of real questioning from the American people about the voting process. I think it's really important. I don't think it's anti-patriotic. And I gotta say, of course, when Donald Trump's, you know, complaining about the election in 2020, you know, it's because he's throwing a giant mantrum because he didn't win. And of course, he believed so firmly that he should have won that things must be wrong because right. He's not winning. This isn't a Donald Trump problem. This is a man problem that's pretty pervasive in our culture. We call them mantrums. There's a little boy inside all of us men that sometimes didn't learn the lesson because, you know, the deck is kind of stacked in our favor in a lot of ways, not on everything, but enough that when we don't get what we feel like we deserve, we kind of come undone. And that Donald Trump certainly did that in that election. And so I wouldn't advocate social studies teachers only focus on that one election. But it's happened both sides. And this is one of those times where I don't want to get, even though I'm, you know, my politics align pretty far on one side, left. I don't think we need to hide that here. I really do believe that when you're teaching social studies, you teach real, sometimes controversial issues that are multi-sided. And there are multiple perspectives on elections.
I don't disagree with you. And Jess, I want to get your thoughts too, because you've been doing this long enough with us. But I just want to kind of challenge back at Johnny, my co-host, that what you're talking about is good social studies teaching. And what was occurring in these standards, the inclusion of the 2020 election results really didn't have anything to do with an over-encompassing way to talk about elections and dissatisfaction and the things that happened in it. It was the insertion, intentional insertion of this one result that really says, sorry, this is absolutely kind of in your face. The stuff that Trump is supposedly trying to say, we don't want indoctrination. We want kids, you know, and this is indoctrination to me. It's right-wing indoctrination, not saying that there isn't left-wing indoctrination, because there are, but this is just another insertion of indoctrination because they're currently in power. And I'm going to tell you that this is still the auditioning for the future of Ryan Walters to have some connection to the Trump administration. Jess, your thoughts?
I absolutely agree with you, Tim, that this is continued behavior from Ryan Walters of saying, hey, Trump, pick me, look at me, I'm on your side. Because when we actually look at what is included in this, it's not a case of where Johnny is talking about, yes, we should address complicated issues in our classes, especially in our social studies classrooms. We should absolutely be looking at these complicated moments of history and reckon with how people in that time felt about it, how they reacted to it. And that's not what's in this new curriculum. This curriculum, I pulled up another news site, and specifically the new version of USH 9.3 says high school students should, quote, identify discrepancies in 2020 election results by looking at graphs and other information, including what we talked about before. And it really is steering them, trying to get them to say there was shenanigans happening in this election. There was something unkosher going on. Yeah. It really is steering these high school students towards election denialism. And when we pair that with Oklahoma's trend towards, you know, highlighting Christianity and having Christian Bibles in every classroom, this is to me another example of not showing every side of a situation and giving the space for open discussion of diversity and the different ways that we experience life. This is trying to say this is the right way and anything else is wrong. So to me, this is not a promotion of good educational practice. This is not opening up a space for dialogue and debate and discussion where this subject matter could be a really, really rich subject of discussion to say in 2020, shortly after the election and carrying through into 2021, carrying through, in fact, for the next 4 years and how long we might have, there was election denialism for the 2020 election. Let's look at cases of people who claimed that the election was stolen. Let's look at what they cited as evidence. And let's look at what evidence we really have about the safety and security of the election. Yeah. Why do you think that people may have been swayed by election denialist tactics? So I think there's so much space for this to be a really rich classroom discussion topic, and this is not what Ryan Walters is doing in Oklahoma.
Johnny.
Oh, I agree, Jess. Well, but, you know, and it's right aligned with what, you know, Jess is saying, what the National Council for Social Studies is saying. You know, like, this is not best practice of, like, designing a line of inquiry and going with that. And the thing I'd like to just add on to that is I want, you know, I'm trying not to, like, remind people to be cautious, but I'm doing that too often. Maybe I'm getting old. It's like, but I think we have to be careful, because it absolutely has to be. There was election denialism of Democrats questioning Republican wins in the recent past too. And so I think the importance is, like, we're on to something, but I agree. The Ryan Walters, like, pick me kind of thing is probably more likely at the heart of this than anything else. But I do feel like even social studies educators are, like, left or right and not thinking about, in general, like Jess is talking about, this opportunity to have discussion, to think about debate, to see multiple perspectives beyond two parties, to think about, like, hey, there has been a lot of questioning elections. That's known as something. We should be learning about that, I believe, in social studies curriculum, that election denialism is a thing. And it's actually pretty dangerous to democracy. But what does it tell us?
Yes. It
keeps happening back and forth.
That's so, what it is. Yeah, Johnny, just, you know, because what I think I'm hearing between both you and Jess, though, too, is that what I see Oklahoma doing here is actually attacking the institution of Democratic and voting here to create skepticism in future elections and actually taking down an institution that, while we should look at it critically and make it better and better and safer and safer and safer, that's not the intention here. Because as Jess just said, if we put forth the election denials that were put out there and look at the evidence that then came back and went, nah, sorry, that isn't what happened, it actually then reinforces the kind of sense of saying our elections are safe and secure, and we need to have a civic value that supports healthy, safe elections. And then what I see this standard actually doing is upsetting that intentionally and creating doubt in our institution.
Which I think we need. Mm. I think we need, because again, this is why I said separate from the left and right position on this, the conservative and the like liberal position on this. Election tampering is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. Complicity and accepting and saying, hey, that the system works fine right now, you know, is, I think, a dangerous line to be on, because the system might not be working fine. And I want at least my students to be questioning the validity of these elections, right?
Jess.
So I'm with you on this, Johnny. And at the same time, let's say we've done the investigations into the 2020 election. And here is the evidence that we've amassed that says that the 2020 election is safe and secure. We don't have to expand that and say that every single election that has taken place in the United States is safe and secure always, all the time. And we can say the 2020 election underwent incredibly rigorous investigation because of this ongoing election denialism. So we can say, and we can show, here is the evidence. These are the investigations that we did. These are the surveys that we did. These are the audits that we did. This is all of the work that went into making sure that the 2020 election was safe and secure. So we can bring that into the classroom and say it is so important to make sure that our elections remain safe and secure. And we saw it tested very strongly in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, I don't think I'm presenting this as a lefty position. I think I'm trying to present this as a position of caution against destroying an institution that both left and right could exploit then when there is doubt and uncertainty in that institution. And so when you do this intentionally, you create, Johnny, then the ability for more men to have mantras on purpose, because everybody's now in this kind of hyper-relativistic state of going, well, every election's stolen and every election is cheating. And, you know, it just depends on who. And now you're going, like, the purpose that would end what the purpose that's served here then is to create doubt. And that doubt is poison that poisons the entire system and creates a sense that voting in this country is some type of, as they say, some banana republic, and that it's just a bunch of crap. And I think that's a dangerous position for schools to intentionally be teaching children in the form of social studies standards. To me, this is just as bad as lefty woke indoctrination. This is just another form of another indoctrination. And I will come out and say that intentional indoctrination, left, right, middle, no, that's not what we're doing. But there is a sense of saying we want to instill a pride and a kind of sanctity in democracy itself. And one of the ways that we get to exhibit democratic values are our elections. Johnny.
Kind of. I agree on this one, Tim. It'll be a future show.
Yeah.
because we take different opinions about this, it sounds like indoctrination in favor of voting from you, which I love as a system. And majority rules is not really democratic.
I know.
It's just one of the ways we kind of relegate some level of decentralized democracy to government practical everyday things, which I agree about. And so I want to continue for young people to be questioning elections in the way like the three of us talked about it today.
Yeah,
to understand it's a process. It's a concession of our democratic, you know, responsibilities, but it's one of the ways we contribute, like you're saying. And I think, and I do hope that in my lifetime, I thought that it would have happened already as a young person. I was like, man, by the time I'm grown, we're going to have more than two parties in this country. We're going to have something better than this kind of election where either side can be like, we won. No, we didn't win. And for months, we're really angry at each other. And then the whole next election is more about getting back the other group than it is being a better country altogether. Mm-hmm. So I think we're still on that back and forth, you know, and I hope that young people, like they remind me, like we're going to do something better. And I believe in our lifetime, we'll see that. So not quite the way Ryan Walters wants it done, but I'm still going to like argue and be a little obstinate about let's question the heck out of elections and let's understand how this pattern of the last 20 years has been really detrimental to our economy, to our relationships to one another, to the fabric of our communities.
Absolutely.
So on that, like, what a fun show to chop it up.
What a fun show. And Jess, man, awesome. Your last homeroom. We loved having you in this situation. You definitely are coming back as the guest co-host who needs no invitation. You just invite yourself and that chair is ready for you. And now for your moment of zen. I've always resented the smug statements of politicians, media commentators, corporate executives who talked of how, in America, if you worked hard, you would become rich. The meaning of that was, if you were poor, it was because you hadn't worked hard enough. I knew this was a lie.
Hey, a big thank you to Jacob on the boards today. And listeners, thank you for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom Podcast. And remember to grab great other podcasts filled with Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or of course, on the Civic Media website, or you can always hit us up at bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't miss out on this week's class in session on Wednesday. And you can find hurdles and home runs on Friday. And of course, catch Busted Pencils on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.